Welcome to the Book Nook on WYSO, and today we have a special treat for you. A gentleman whose voice is familiar to many of you, Bill Felker, joins us. Welcome, Bill.
Well, thank you, Vic.
Bill, I'm delighted to see that you have published your latest edition of Poor Will's Almanac, and this is a great time to talk to you about it because this thing is just about ready to kick in, isn't it?
Well, yeah, it kicked in November, and now we're starting a new natural year, right? December 1st, this is the first week, and this is a good time to begin.
For our listeners that don't know what you're talking about, what do you mean by the beginning of the first natural year?
Well, the year seems to end here in the lower Midwest about this time of year. Right. And if you look around, all the leaves are down, or almost all the leaves are down, and things are pretty much ready for winter. Right. There's not a lot more progress that's going to be made. And so the old year is pretty much done with. That's going to be different, of course, if you're in Louisiana or South Carolina or in Arizona. But I think that's appropriate that each region should have its own year and season and so forth. And at any rate, where I live and here in the lower Midwest in general, this is the time when things start. I went out to a patch of hellebores called Lenten roses in my garden yesterday, and indeed the buds of that flower were already out, and they'll bloom maybe in the January thaw, or certainly in the Groundhog Day thaw. So, I mean, things are starting, and of course, the trees are all primed with their buds. They're waiting, and the only thing that's standing in the way is winter. So that's what I mean by a natural year. Sure, January 1st is a calendar year, but, you know, things are already pretty far along by then.
Let's go back to the beginning of your almanacs, Bill. Why did you start writing them, and when did you start?
Well, that's an old story about stopping smoking, right? Back in the mid-80s, I was trying to quit my Lucky Strike habit, and I went cold turkey finally in, I think it was 84, and started walking in the woods and taking notes obsessively. And I had started this a little bit earlier when in one of the many attempts at stopping smoking. At any rate, the notes that I took sort of snowballed. And I've soon found that that jived with the weather records I'd been keeping for quite a long time. And I thought, well, gee, you know, this would actually be an almanac. So I approached the local editor at that time, Don Wallace, and he said, sure, go ahead. But, you know, he said, be careful because, you know, if you do a weekly almanac, you got to do it every week, right? And so that was 30 years ago, and Haven't missed a week.
And I'm sure that the late Don Wallace was the perfect guy to make your pitch to, because I have many memories of Don down by the river, just watching nature.
Yeah, he was an amazing mentor and, you know, really helped me in so many ways. Yeah, tremendous, tremendous person.
Bill Felker joins us. His latest, Poor Will's Almanac, has just come out for the year 2015. And for the start of this next natural year, which is already underway, those leaves are starting to decay. The Osage oranges are piled up, waiting for those squirrels to start gnawing on them in the spring when they don't have anything else to eat. on those warm days when they come out of their nests.
That's it.
You mentioned a moment ago that you had extensive notes already about the weather. Now, what was that all about?
Well, that started when I was in graduate school in 1972. And my wife got me a barometer, and because I kind of kept track of the weather, and she said, "Well, here, play with this." And so I played with the barometer, and pretty soon I was graphing it, you know, being sort of obsessive compulsive, and I graphed these ups and downs, and found that it was really fun, because no matter where we moved. We moved to North Carolina for a while. I got the barometer in Tennessee, and then we moved to Carolina, and then we came to Ohio. And I found that the ups and downs of the barometer were pretty regular. And by the mid-80s, I had a system that works pretty darn well, in which I track approximately 65 cold fronts that come through every year. And, you know, if they come through Yellow Springs, Ohio, they're going to come through Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and maybe eventually get to Columbia, South Carolina. So the counting of cold fronts is another way of measuring time, of course, but it's also an interesting guide to what could happen. It's not a forecast system, but it is pretty much a predicting system. For example, if somebody asks, "Are we going to have a white Christmas?" Well, there are two cold fronts that come in around that time, and usually there's precipitation with them, right? So that's the December 20th and the 25th cold front. Most Christmases are cold, and most Christmas Eves have some kind of precip. And the same thing with New Year's Eve. New Year's Eve is usually messy. And the first day of the calendar year is usually cold. And that's no accident. You know, the world breathes in a regular way.
Isn't it usually sunny on Christmas Day, though?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the cold, the high pressure usually brings sun and cold.
With all those cold fronts, it sounds like there's one every couple of days then.
Yeah, they slow down in the summer. The barometric graphs are kind of boring in the summer. Not much happens except if you get a thunderstorm. But then starting in October, they start really picking up. And so there's lots of highs and lots of lows. And that goes on through May and into June.
When you say 65 cold fronts, that's over the course of the whole year.
That includes
ones that come in the summer.
Right, mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's and, you know, anybody with a barometer can figure this out. The old almanacs from the 1600s, 1700s used the same system. If you look at Poor Richard, you'll see his forecasts follow basically the same system.
Poor Richard, that was Ben Franklin.
Ben Franklin, yeah.
He was into the weather.
He was. Yeah. And, you know, again, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out the barometer, but it's fun, and it's right there. It's there to measure.
Bill Felker joins us. Many of you have heard Bill's lovely contemplative pieces that are featured regularly on WYSO's weekend program. Bill, how do you come up with those? How do you compose them? What's the process for you?
Boy, that's a good question. Everything that I have comes from my day book, which is a compilation of notes from about 1979. And I have notes for every day of the year. So maybe on any given day, I've got comments from maybe 20 years. Different things that I've seen. And there's a lot of repetitions in that because the days pretty much repeat themselves. When I found the weather patterns, you know, at 65 or so, I also found that each week of the year has its own character. And I've been kind of working on the idea that each day of the year has its own character. You can actually see that when you keep notes cumulatively. But anyway, that's where I start. And things kind of cook in my head, and something will come to me, and so I'll just sort of put it down. But all of that comes from the daybook source. And so somebody asks me, you know, how do I write about nature? And I just say, take notes. If you take enough notes, you'll have plenty to say.
But how do your notes come off sounding so poetic, Bill?
I don't know. I don't know what happens. I mean, that's I don't do that on purpose. Actually, a lot of this stuff is the names of the plants and so forth. You know, so.
Yes, you have some wonderful lists of plants. I've always admired them.
Well, you know, I never took any botany, and you know, if you quit smoking, then these names just come to you. Of course, with a guidebook or something. But you can, you know, within the first year or two, I found every pretty much common wildflower and other flowers that were around. I'm sure there are many more that I don't find. But, yeah, I mean, you don't need to be a supernaturalist to figure out all the plants in the almanac. It's you can do it.
Bill Felker joins us. His latest Poor Will's Almanac has just come out. He's been putting these out since 1984. And as we're airing this on December 7th, according to your almanac, we're in the period where the sun is standing still. Can you explain what you mean?
Well, that's a term. I forget where I found sun standing still time. But it is a period around the solstices, either in the winter or summer, in which the sun's position on the horizon varies very imperceptibly, maybe 1 degree either side. And so if you keep track of that with a gnomon or a stick in the ground which measures the sun's shadow, it's almost imperceptible. It's almost like the sun indeed keeps going on the same rut day after day. And then finally, about the second week of January, you can kind of see it go up. Mm. And that's the declination is changing.
Well, I'm really looking forward to this because on the 8th, coming this week, you have the December 8th wave of high pressure is typically the first severe system of early winter. And a secondary front often reinforces the chill between the 11th and the 13th. I'm looking forward to that. I love those.
Well, I'm wondering if it's really going to come. I looked at the long range forecast. You know, you cheat on the doggone internet, and you know you can see the future that way. But the fact of the matter is that around the 8th, there's going to be a change, right? So, and by the 15th. You know, that's when you really see the change. But, yeah. And the first week of December is often real, real mild, and the pressure is lower.
My late father-in-law was a very cultured, highly educated man. Yet he grew up in a small town in Kentucky, and he had a particular affection for good outhouse stories. And I think he would have really enjoyed this almanac because you've got some wonderful stories contributed to the almanac, and a lot of them are about outhouses.
Well, they are, yeah. In my farm almanacs, I run story contests, and I do like those outhouse stories. There's one I especially like in this particular edition where on a Halloween, the neighborhood kids put a potato into this man's tailpipe, and he doesn't know it, of course, and he goes out to start the car and finally gets it going, and the exhaust builds up and builds up, and then wham, the potato shoots out, and where does it go? But it bangs against the outhouse door, right? Actually, it's the man's wife that starts the car. Anyway, it bangs against the outhouse door, and he shouts from inside, "My gosh, I'm almost done. You know, what are you doing? What are you breaking down the door for?" So, yeah, there's some good outhouse stories.
That's the perfect combination. It's an outhouse story and a potato story. I mean, how can you top that?
I know, and Halloween, too. You know, I mean, what can you do? And it's, you know, there's a tension between the man and his wife through all these stories. You know, they're always, you know. And there's another story by the same author that's fun.
You just mentioned your involvement with farm publications. Tell us about that.
Well, Don Wallace got me started with that, too. After we did the Almanac and the Yellow Springs News, he also owned a newspaper down in southern Indiana in Switzerland County. So I started doing one for that paper, and then I did a little marketing and got accepted in a general farm publication called Farm World and a Farmland News up in Archbald and the Mercer County Standard up there and a few others. And usually those have a different tone than what I write, than my essays in the annual and what I write for the Yellow Springs News and the Springfield Sun. Those are more reflective. But the farm almanacs have stories by the readers, and you get all kinds of stuff. I mean, it's really fun.
So how are they different? Is the tone different?
Oh, well, yeah. You know, if I talk about nature, sometimes I'll try to simply describe the mood of the week or the time. And sometimes my prose turns a little purple as I philosophize a little bit. But I don't usually do that in the farm almanacs. Instead of the essay at the end of the data, I usually include a story by one of the readers. And most of the time, they're really a lot of fun. They're not always. You can't find 52 short stories a year that of 300 words that are of absolutely superb quality, but many, many, many of them are really fun, and they're good. They're good memory stories by the readers.
Let's talk some more about the structure of your almanac. How did you decide on this particular structure? Obviously, a lot of this is based on the many historical almanacs that have been published over the centuries, but you've got some special features in here, don't you?
Well, yeah, it has the same, I think, the same concept as the old farmer or whatever.
Isn't the SAD index something kind of new?
The which?
The SAD index.
Oh yeah,
I've never seen that in an almanac.
No, the seasonal affective disorder almanac chart is something that I just put together, and interestingly enough, it measures the forces or the factors which might play into someone getting depressed in the winter, right? or reacting to the heat in the summer, and there are even physical education teachers who consult this and so forth. And again, I suffer from seasonal affective disorder, so it sort of rings a bell with me, and it seems to with other people that they say, "Well, okay, there's a reason for me feeling so bad. The numbers are bad," you know.
So we're heading right into the beginning of the natural year, and also heading into the apogee of the SAD, aren't we?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That right about now? Isn't the time it really kind of kicks in?
It does, and it goes till, well, through February. I mean, so we've got a 4-month part of the year there, and that may be the time to go south. I don't know.
Yeah, I know that some people find a cure going and lying on a beach somewhere. That seems to work for some people. But what would you suggest for people who aren't going anywhere and they're stuck here under the gray?
Well, to me, the only thing that really works, the things that work are exercise and being outside. You know, and not only can being outside help you quit smoking, I don't know what it is, but being indoors can be a dangerous thing, I think.
What about fire? Isn't fire good?
Fire is great. I make one every morning in the stove, and that really helps me. It's something basic about a fire in the fireplace or the wood stove that I don't know. It calms anxieties and so forth. Yeah.
What kind of wood do you like to burn?
Well, I just sort of burn the wood I buy. I've got a friend who scrounges all his wood, and he's really good at this. And he's got more wood and different things. He splits it all, and I quit doing that after I reached 70, and I said, I'm going to buy my wood. And I did, so I get the sorted hardwood, and I get a giant load.
You must burn a lot of wood if you have a fire going every morning.
I do. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do. It's a psychological fire. You know,
it's also nice and warm on a cold day.
It is. It's warm.
I'm a big fan of Osage orange. I love burning Osage orange. It burns so hot and long, and it's kind of sparky. You have to be careful with it.
Yeah, yeah.
But what a wonderful wood.
That's, of course, the favorite. You know,
is it the favorite?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Osage is just the best.
I think my favorite to burn is white oak, but I think it's sort of a crime to burn it.
Well, it's kind of a crime to burn any of this stuff. But, you know, I mean, it's beautiful, and it, you know, and
that's true. We are contributing to.
We are.
Yes. Well, we won't even talk about that. But we are talking about Poor Will's Almanac. Bill Felker joins us. Many of you have heard him on this radio station. He contributes regularly, and you also are available as a podcast, I understand. Now what kind of feedback do you get from that?
Well, I tell people, you know, that the segment appears on Why So at certain times, but that it's very easy to get if you go to the website, the Why So website, and they can download Book Nook pods.
No, we're pushing you. We're pushing you today, Bill.
Well, we can download Poor Will's Almanac podcast.
That's true.
It's easy to do. People subscribe to those too and get them weekly, which is a nice feature too. Yeah.
Okay, let's talk some more about the almanac and your process. What did you have to do to get this new edition ready? What kind of things did you have to look at as far as you have these regular things that you include, and a lot of stuff, I hate to say it's predictable, but it's kind of expected. Now, what's different?
Well, when I start this, I do all the astronomical stuff first. So that takes up quite a bit of space there and time. After that, there are three segments that are different each year, and the first one is the essay that I write. And so I go back and go through the year's essay and try to find 14 to fit the format of the book. So that's something that I go through kind of twist my mind to come up with the right ones. And then I'll try to pick out 14 reader stories to stick in there. And then I go back to the day book, which has all the notes of nature notes, and I try to put together a monthly summary that I haven't done before, which is kind of hard to do because I've done many of these and I don't want to repeat myself. So that actually takes the most time because I want to find different things to say about the seasons than I've already said. So anyway, those are the three pieces that are especially important to me. And then, in the day book section of the almanac, there are notes on the weather and so forth and the moon's influence, and that's kind of fun to think about too, because it works, you know.
Well, I love reading your almanac because it takes me back to a simpler time, a time when we were much more in touch with nature, and time seemed to pass more slowly, and you have all these reflective pieces. I love this essay called Weeding Zinnias, where you kind of look back and you remember your mother's petunias and rhubarb back in Wisconsin, where mm-hmm. where you grew up.
The paying attention part of it is something that never ceases to amaze me. When I advocate a flat Earth outlook, I'm not really talking about dismissing a round Earth, but rather to look at what's in front of you. And most people don't. They don't give themselves credit for seeing something. And they'll say, I thought I saw a robin. Or, there might be a cardinal singing. Things that they could know and they probably do know, they're uncertain about. And I think that's the result of the scientific, academic world in which we live. And everybody's online. You can look anything up you want. So why should you pay attention to the bug walking across the sidewalk? Or why should you care if anybody uses poison on their grass? Because really, the green in your life comes from your screen. I think that's the foundation of if we're going to do anything with ecology and climate change and so forth, you got to first of all notice what's happening, and not just when a hurricane hits, you know. So anyway, that's it keeps amazing me how important just these little details are, and to give credence to them. What do they mean? Even the most insignificant thing.
And we are a part of the natural cycle. I know that we like to fight that notion. We like to disrupt it as much as we can as human beings, but we are a part of it. And the last couple of days, I've gotten particular joy out of a disruption, a human disruption that has created something of beauty in my mind. Going down the highway on my bicycle, I saw a few days ago where a deer had been hit by a car. And then the last couple of days, every day as I passed by, there would be more and more black vultures waiting on the other side of the road. Yesterday, I counted over 40 of them, all just patiently waiting their turn to have a little snack. And with that, Bill, we really appreciate your time and your new Poor Will's Almanac for 2015.
Well, Vic, thanks for having me on. I hope you have a good 2015.
Thank you. You've been listening to the Book Nook on WYSO. My guest has been Bill Felker. For the Book Nook, I'm Vic McCunis, and don't miss Bill on WYSO Weekend, right here on WYSO.